Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, as we move along in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, we have come, as you know, to chapter 2. And here we're learning about Paul's ministry goals, and specifically, in verse 2, what Paul labored to achieve in the lives of Christians. He says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Now that is quite a mouthful. So we're trying to break it down phrase by phrase, word by word, and understand exactly what it was that Paul was doing on behalf of the Colossians, a church that he had never been to, whose members, most of whom he had never met. The only ones he had met are those who had traveled to him, not any that he had met traveling to them. And yet, he makes it clear that he had a concern for them. He was laboring on their behalf. He opens this chapter by talking about the great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. And Paul makes it clear that he was laboring for them and for others. In fact, he makes it a pretty broad word, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So when you put all that together, you realize this was what Paul was endeavoring to do in the lives of all believers. And he must have had a pretty large vision, and he must have had a great confidence in the work that he was doing, that God was going to make it effective in the lives of people far from where Paul was, and people that Paul had never met face to face. It's quite a concept. But it's very helpful and instructive if we look at it with some degree of carefulness. So to that end, we gather around the Word of God on this Thursday, April 7, and we can do so because of the financial gifts of you, our radio listeners. Thank you. Well, Paul tells us that he is encouraging them, that their hearts may be encouraged. And as we saw in the broadcast a couple of days ago, that means to be strengthened. Paul was endeavoring to strengthen Christians. He wanted to get their roots down deeper. He wanted to build a stronger foundation under their faith. He wanted to anchor them to Christ and to the Word of God in such a way that they would never depart. You say, now wait a minute. Paul believed in the perseverance of the saints. Paul believed that whoever God has begun a work, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, he talks that way, and he obviously believed that. But often, Paul looks at things from the human side rather than from the divine side and talks in terms of what is necessary for professing believers to continue in the faith. And there is no contradiction. Those two concepts may be a paradox that has to be wrestled with, but they are certainly no contradiction because both are taught in the Word of God. So Paul is endeavoring to strengthen these believers so that they will be fortified against whatever dangers might otherwise pull them away from their faith in Christ. And Paul evidently is particularly concerned about false teachers and false doctrine, which he will address more specifically in this chapter. And Paul is aiming for the heart, right? We saw that yesterday, that their hearts may be strengthened. But as we learned on the broadcast yesterday, the Bible concept of heart is not the same as the contemporary American concept of heart, because our idea of the heart is almost completely emotional, and that's only one part of the biblical concept of the heart, which is threefold, really: intellectual, emotional, and volitional. It involves our thinking, our emotions, and our will. And Paul is endeavoring to strengthen the hearts of believers, and it starts with an enlarged understanding of truth. You don't accomplish eternal good in the lives of people by aiming only at their will or at their emotions. You have to start with their intellect and then move by, or ask the Holy Spirit to move them on the basis of their new understanding to grasp that truth with an emotional attachment and with a volitional commitment. A lot of Christians don't seem to understand that in our day. I listen to sermons from time to time of preachers who seem to aim entirely at moving people emotionally and volitionally with very little intellectual content to their messages. And I'm not talking about intellectualism. I'm not talking about graduate level discourses that the average person can't possibly be expected to understand. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm just talking about doctrinal content. Too many sermons are void of doctrinal content. And then sometimes when they do include content, it's not even correct. The preacher doesn't know his Bible very well, doesn't know sound theology very well. But so many times, it's just emotional nature. When I was in school, we used to talk sometimes, tongue-in-cheek, about skyscraper preachers. What's a skyscraper preacher? One story on top of another. You've heard those kinds. We all have. Frankly, on the one hand, they can be very interesting and entertaining. I can remember when preachers like that would come to the school where I received my training and preach in chapel or at Bible conference, that the students always enjoyed those types of preachers. But I'm confident that they didn't benefit very much from them. It was rather entertaining. I can remember years ago when I was ministering on weekends. I was still in school, but I was traveling on weekends to a town about 80 miles from where I was in school and ministering at a church. And I remember how excited one of the ladies in the church was because she had been to a stadium to hear a preacher who was famous in that day. I'm sure he's no longer living. And she thought he was the most wonderful thing she'd ever heard. And she actually had a recording of him. And you'll find this hard to believe, but it was a long play vinyl album. Some of you won't even know what that is. It was not a cassette tape. It was not a CD. It was a record. We used to play them on turntables, on record players, we called them. And this was a long play vinyl album of this man preaching. And she gave me one, or loaned it to me for me to listen to so that I could understand why she was so excited about him. And I heard a very funny, very entertaining, very engaging preacher telling one story after another. But I heard virtually nothing about the Bible. Nothing that helped my understanding of God's Word. It was all directed toward emotions. He had us laughing and he had us crying. And then he made a strong appeal. He aimed at the emotions and then tried to affect the will based upon the emotional content of his message, but he left out the intellectual part entirely. That's not what Paul has in mind when he says in verse 2 of Colossians 2 that their hearts may be strengthened, because the biblical idea of the heart does not preclude the intellect, as sometimes we think it does in America, that the heart is somehow the opposite of the mind, that heartfelt religion is the opposite of stale head knowledge and intellectual religion. But that's a deceit of the devil. The devil is a clever deceiver. He's a wonderful liar. And if he can separate Christians from doctrinal content and from having to think about doctrine, then he has won a tremendous victory. And I'm afraid with many people, that's exactly what he has accomplished. He's got them convinced that their religion, their understanding and practice of Christianity is the true one because it's heartfelt, it's emotional, it's volitional. I have heard pastors in our area excitedly report on a service that they had recently in their church that was so wonderful that they didn't even have time to preach. And what they were describing was a service where things got really intense emotionally, which they interpreted as being an evidence of the moving of the Holy Spirit in the service. And so there was, who knows what, some heart-moving special music and maybe an outbreak of testimonies and people coming to the altar and weeping and so forth. And, oh, there was such a movement of the Spirit of God that there wasn't even any place for the sermon. We just disposed of the sermon altogether and just waited on the Spirit of God. Well, that's funny because the Spirit of God has written the Bible. And when I read about church services in the Bible, the ones that are recorded, there are a lot of them are recorded, but there's enough of them reported on that we can tell what went on. And I learn that opening the Bible is the heart of the service. What is this concept that somehow you've risen to a superior level, a higher level of spirituality if you skip the Bible, skip the sermon? Well, frankly, and I don't mean to be harsh when I say this, but frankly, judging from some sermons I've heard, maybe the church would be better off if they did skip them. But that's a shame, because what the pastor's job is to open the Word of God and explain it. That's his primary responsibility, certainly his primary responsibility in his public ministry is to preach the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instinct, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And that's the beginning. And you haven't achieved anything superior by leaving that out. When you leave that out, what you've got left is inferior, not superior. You've been fooled. You think all that emotionalism, without any doctrinal content, without any biblical truth, is somehow an evidence of the moving of the Spirit of God? I think not. I think it's an evidence of overwrought emotions. And that's not helpful. That's harmful. That's misleading. And that's not what Paul was doing. He was aiming for the mind, for the intellect, for doctrine, for getting people to think about the Word of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.